You're listening to coverage from the 2008 Cattle Industry Convention and Trade Show.
Okay, good morning, everybody. All right. Responses at 7:30 in the morning, that's upside. My name is Pierre Bertrand. I'm from Pfizer Animal Health. I want to welcome everybody. This is our 15th year of sponsoring Cattlemen's College, and I think we've got a great agenda for you. We've got some experts here today that will supplement some of the internal experts that some of you might have met from Pfizer Animal Health in the relationships that you've had in the field. Our veterinary operations folks have over 500 years of combined academic and private practice experience. And we're hoping to bring that expertise to you in all of the sessions that will be going on today. So without further ado, I'm going to turn it over to Randy Block to kick off the Stair Steps to Profitability session. Thank you for your continued support in business, and look forward to the day and getting to meet some of you.
Good morning. Let's thank Pfizer Animal Health for making today possible. Well, we're excited to be with you today. I think we've got a great program. We've tried to leave plenty of time for interaction and questions throughout the course of the day, and we intend to do that. Obviously, we're in some dynamic times, some times that Pierre, even with 500 years of experience with your crew, and I look at several thousand years of collective experience with all the gray hair in this room, we're at times that probably are different for all of us. We've never seen some of the dynamics that we're dealing with today, and I think the title of today's program, Stair Steps of Profitability, is very appropriate for the decision-making that we have in front of us as we look down the road. Before we get started this morning, I would like to introduce our speakers that will be with us today. If you guys all just stand up, and Mike Murphy. Mike Murphy's been with Cattle Facts for more than a decade. Mike heads up our risk management area with Cattle Facts. Dr. Tom Field. Dr. Tom Field is on staff at Colorado State University, but we're fortunate to have Tom with our staff on a part-time basis to add some more expertise in the cow-calf and stocker areas for us around the country. Dwayne Lenz. Dwayne heads up our market analysis area. He's been with us about 20 years. Dwayne's got a tremendous amount of experience in the feedlot areas and also in the meat areas. Dwayne will be sharing part of the program today. Where is Todd? Is Todd in here? I don't see Todd in here. He slipped out. Mike Miller, are you back in here? Some of the other folks that slipped out, we'll make sure and get them introduced as the program goes on. Today, as we get started, what I'd like to do is spend a little bit of time. The question that we've had asked, I can't tell you how many times we've had this question in the last 12 months. Do we still have a cattle cycle? Do we still have a cattle cycle? Most of us have built our businesses around that over a long period of time. We've had a great deal of predictability on the cattle cycle when we've looked at it historically. What I want to do is break the cycle into three phases. I want to talk about it from an inventory standpoint, a cattle cycle from a number standpoint. I want to talk about it from a production standpoint, and I want to talk about it from a price standpoint. Because I don't think a lot of times when people talk about cattle cycle, they really break it into those components. They roll all that together, and it ends up being mush. So let's break it apart and look at what we really have out here from an overall cattle inventory standpoint. If you go back And this is a little easier to see in what we have up here on the screen than it is in your book. But in each of these yellow dots that you see going all the way back into the 30s, each of those yellow dots represents 3 years past the cycle low in cow numbers. Look at the growth that we experienced here in the 30s. We had already seen significant growth in cow numbers. The same thing in the 40s, the same thing in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. That's where the old cattle cycle term came from. 3 years off your low in numbers, we'd already experienced some significant growth in inventory. Look what happened here in the early 1980s. Why was that one cut short? Corn prices was part of it. That was a little later on with the PIC program in 1984. How about 20-21% interest? Remember the runaway inflation we had in the late 70s, early 80s? 20-21% interest. We were losing money. It was a train wreck. We liquidated about 13 million head of cattle from the early 80s into the late 80s as we came through that phase of the cycle. Now, is there some similarities, when you look at our environment that we're in today, is there some similarities to what we saw in the second half of the 70s? I'm not going to go into a lot of detail in that, but I want you all to think about that. We'll come back to that a little bit later on, but I think that's something you need to be thinking about. We had low interest rates in the 70s. We had runaway inflation. We had stagflation as far as our economy, no economic growth, and yet runaway inflation. Is there a little bit of that going on today? We need to think those things through as we're making them and plotting our strategies down the road. Okay, here we are in the 80s. The 1990s, we started a little bit of a cycle. We came off there, but it really wasn't very robust, was it? We had a little bit of a cycle, and here you are in the decade today. No growth in numbers. I think it is safe to say that the cattle cycle that we've all grown up with is on life support. It is a very good possibility that the cattle cycle that we all experienced for years and years and years is gone. One of the things I want to take you back. 10-15 years ago, we were talking about the cattle cycle was going to change. We were going to see significant reductions as far as changes in inventory. We wouldn't see the big inventory fluctuations like what we've seen in the past. Because we were going through a transition, instead of being a commodity production unit where we were just building all this product and hoping somebody would buy it, to more of a pull-through economy. A pull-through economy where we would produce it, we'd see more alignments, we'd see more integration, coordination within our overall production system. And that is part of the reason I think we have what we have today. The cattle cycle, as we know it, with what we have going on, think about food policy, think about energy policy in our country today. Do those support a cattle cycle as we look down the road? No, they don't. Our present farm policy in this country and our energy policies, I think, collectively are going to keep us from growing this inventory for the next several years. We're not going to grow it very significantly within this country. I would be pretty comfortable saying that it isn't going to grow again in 2008. It'll be very similar to what we just saw here in 2007. The USDA put out their inventory numbers last week. We thought they were pretty much online, pretty much in line with what our estimates are. I would guess that that will continue. So, here's the inventory numbers. Now let's shift gears and let's look at the beef production cycle. You've got the same cattle inventory cycle in the blue up here. Now we got beef production laid over the top of it. Look at the cycle that we've had going on from a production standpoint. We're still getting some of that cycle movement. Beef production this last year was nearly record large. We've got 35 million fewer cattle than we had back in here total cattle than we had in the mid-70s. And look how much more production we're producing. Look how much bigger our production is off the herd we have today. Why? Are we in a technology cycle? Think about how much better we've gotten. Think about our animal health programs with Pfizer Animal Health and some of the other animal health programs with the products they've brought to market. Think about our nutrition programs. What's our market signal been? What's the strongest market signal that we have out there today? To add what? Weight. Have we responded to that signal? Absolutely. So we still have somewhat of a production cycle taking place in the industry. Now, our production isn't likely to increase much this year. It'll probably be up just slightly or flat. It's not going to change much, but we've still tended to have more of a production cycle than we have an inventory cycle over the last several years. And I think that's what we need to focus on. Because of our ability to produce so many more pounds out of each animal we have out here, think about how many more live calves we're weaning today than we were 20 years ago. I think the data would say out of every 100 cows we're weaning, live calves, we're weaning as many as 4 more live calves out of every 100 cows. That's substantial. That's substantial, and that's part of the reason we're seeing these kind of productivity increases. If we look on, this isn't in your handout, but I wanted to reinforce this change in carcass weights. Back here in the mid-1970s, our carcass weights were 575 pounds. We're in excess of 775 pounds today. Over a 200-pound increase per animal. Well, if we're processing 33 or 34 million head of cattle a year, and 28 million of them being fed cattle, That's where the production cycle comes from. Look for those things. Unless our economic signals change, and obviously $5 corn, $6 corn changes that economic signal, doesn't it? It changes that economic signal. When the cost of gain gets above the price of fed cattle, it really does have a significant impact. And hopefully that doesn't happen, but it's definitely a possibility. Now let's shift and let's look at the cattle price cycle. We've looked at inventory, we've looked at production, let's look at the price cycle. This is what we used to look at as the four phases of the price cycle. And I would say today that we still have somewhat of a price cycle working, but again, it's a little bit off-kilter. If we look at it, we go through the up cycle, the transition, the down cycle, and again, the transition is as we start to move up. During these phases of the cycle, down here in the down part of the cycle, who's making most of the money? Who makes the money down there? Packers. Feeders start to make money right in here as we start to come out of it. The feed yards start to make money. We get into these transition years. Everybody gets profitable. The biggest profits are in the feeding segment of the industry. Improved profitability in the stocker segment. Cow-calf guys cross over. Up here, who makes most of the money? Cow-calf. We've had 10 years of unprecedented profitability in the cow-calf industry, and we haven't expanded. 10 years. Our average profits in the cow-calf business from 1980 to 1999. Murph, I believe I'm correct in saying that was $2.04. $2.04 a head was our average profitability in that 20-year time period, 1980 to 1999. And we've made in excess of $100 a head over the last decade, on average. Some of you have done much better than that. But when we look at the average numbers, that'd be close to where we are. So we still have some of this taking place, and if you flip onto this graph, I think you can see it pretty well. This is the price piece of the cycle. We come in here, and this goes all the way back into the 70s as we look at the data. Obviously, you can see the run-up that we had in prices here in the 70s, then the break. This was the transition time period in the late 70s when we moved to a new and higher trading range. Prior to 2003, that was the last time that we moved the bar from a new and higher trading range. For all these years, from 1979 to 2003, we were captured basically in a $25 trading range. $58 cattle to $82 cattle. That was our range for 25 years. Then we made the transition, didn't we? We made the transition here very similar to what we did back in that time period here in this last 5-6 years. You can still see the cycle that takes place in here. The market's moving higher in here. The spreads tend to widen out. What tends to happen, though, when we have these high grain prices? We could put that here in 1984, too. What happens? Price spreads collapse, don't they? Is anybody in the room surprised today that calves are still bringing the value they are when we look at what cost to gains are? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It's pretty amazing. Well, that's part of that bullishness that's in the back end of the board, the premium structure that we have all the way through this marketplace. So I think we still have somewhat of a price cycle in here, but if grain prices stay where they are for a long period of time, that too will tend to go away. That too will tend to go away because the market will have to seek out higher levels with smaller production levels with no inventory growth taking place. So the bottom line with cycle, there's really not much of an inventory cycle taking place. There's still a production cycle. The price cycle is probably going to change in here with these elevated grain prices that we've experienced. In the old days, it was pretty simple. The cycle lows in price came in the 5 and 6 year. The 5 and 6 year of a decade is where the low in prices occurred. The highs in prices occurred in what we called the 9-0-1 part of a decade. The 9 year, the 0 year, or the 1 part. The 1 year. Well, we stretched that out a little bit in here in 1993 with the weather we had then. Obviously, we still had some of that into 2003 and 2004, a correction, but the markets obviously made another move to these higher levels with the lack of expansion that's taken place. What are the key factors that are driving it? Weather, obviously. Weather has continued to be a big problem. All we've done over the last several years, you've heard Dr. Art Douglas talk to you at these meetings. For all of you that are Cattle Facts members, you read his stuff every month, and he's still not very bullish weather, is he? He's still not very bullish. This 50s drought pattern continues to plague various parts of the country. This last year, it was in the southeast and the west. Well, about 35% of the nation's cow herd was impacted by those two regions of the country. The year before that, it was the central and southern plains. Nearly half of our cows impacted with the weather in those areas. So weather has not been very friendly for us. Land values. Have you all seen some land appreciation? Absolutely. Land values have skyrocketed here in the last several years. They've gone up dramatically. They're probably not done. These land values will likely continue to move higher here over the next 12 to 24 months. Ethanol. Ethanol by itself is not totally responsible for what we're seeing with the grain markets. But it is having an impact. We are going to shift about 3 billion bushels of corn production to ethanol production. And when I talk about farm policy and we look at some of the things with the market really isn't having an opportunity to work, is it? We've got a 55-cent a gallon import tariff on ethanol product that could come in from Brazil. We've got a 51-cent a gallon blender credit on the other side. If the market could work, my guess is we wouldn't do all that we're going to do in building all of these ethanol plants around the country. It wouldn't get as big as what it's going to be. But we've all seen it before, and other times whenever we get government in here tweaking and playing a little bit, we end up with maybe a little bit bigger mess than... And it takes longer to get through it. It takes longer to get through it. I think the combination of those things as it relates to this ethanol discussion are really quite serious when we look at what our world supplies are today. Alternative land uses. Is this, are you seeing it in your areas, whether it's hunting, oil and gas exploration, wind farms, depopulating ranches, whatever it may be, we're seeing those kind of things take place. We're obviously seeing a situation wherever we can grow crops with $10 wheat,